We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Feel like Kobe in the fourth quarter.
This is the Dame Moore NBA podcast brought to you by Blue Wire Podcast, coming at you Wednesday, June 8th. It's been 8 days since Tim Connelly was introduced as the Wolves president of basketball operations. And today we're joined by Tim Connelly. Tim, how are you? What is week one in Minnesota look like?
Oh, it's been cool. Getting to know the city, getting to know some really cool new colleagues. It's been overwhelming. But it's been awesome. I mean, it's
you're here at the right time.
Yeah, it's because the Yankees are in town, or because the weather.
Maybe both. Yeah, maybe both.
No, it's been cool. It's been, I knew a little bit about this city. It's been kind of fun to just explore. Been walking a ton, getting to see different areas, different neighborhoods, different bars and restaurants.
I've been getting random like pictures from people that are like Tim Connelly sighting.
Is that true?
On the sidewalk. That is true.
Well, I like to walk, so that is hilarious. There'll be a lot of them. You see a speed walker with earphones in. That's usually me. It's been fun. You know, it's a really nice group of people here. Both the business side has been amazing. The basketball operations side. I know a lot of these guys. It's cool to see how they work, and it's been fun as we get close to the draft. So it's been a whirlwind, but it's been the last couple of days. You start to get a little footing and you start to get a little sense of comfort. So it's been awesome.
The draft is 15 days away now.
Yep.
I think back with Denver, you guys had the 21st pick. Mm. And here it's the 19th pick. Is it fair to say that helps you in your draft preparation, that it's, you know, a similar caliber of prospect that you're looking at? Or is it a little apples to oranges, given that it's different rosters?
Yeah, no, I mean, it certainly helps. It's different. You know, you're looking at it through a different lens. Maybe some guys that will be on the board here wouldn't be on the board in Denver because of roster construction. You know, my title is whatever, but I think I'm just a overpaid scout. So I really like to watch a lot of games. So I never want to be in the room and not know. Mm-hmm. Kind of obsessive about watching college, international, obviously the NBA, the minor league. So I really enjoy this time of year, and it helps. You know, the more you watch, the more informed you are. There's a great group of guys here that have done a great job prepping for the draft. So it's been fun debating. It's been fun. I like this guy more than that guy, and let's talk about it. I don't want groupthink. I don't want a room that everyone agrees. As long as when the door opens, we make one decision, it's a collective decision. But it's not just, it's kind of funny. It's not just Denver, where, you know, some of my best friends in the world are, but our tourists, my brother JJ Polk there in Chicago, they're right in front of us, so it's been a pretty good running joke on some of our
text. You lost chains. The coin flip,
yeah,
to Chicago.
Yeah, it's been a pretty, we have those, what was two teams, now three teams have had a kind of a running WhatsApp conversation. Now it's pretty funny that the information is not flowing as freely as it once was.
I believe that. You talked about that at the press conference, kind of that environment of, you know, sitting around at the table, hearing all the, you know, the different voices. What does that exactly look like? And is that common, front office to front office? Is that what that normally looks like?
You know, I think it's what it should look like. I can't speak for the other front offices, but I've been unbelievably fortunate to be around people that promote debate and promote like critical discussions. It's inexact what we're doing. Even for draft night, we get a kick out of the idea that on draft night, we'll have grades. The guy hasn't played a game yet. Yeah, we don't know if the player is going to be good or bad for several years. I certainly don't have all the answers. I'm not here to be the loudest voice in the room or to not listen and learn. So, we want to hear what Finchie and his crew of guys think could best help us, can best augment our already really talented roster. But I think you'll hear this a million times from me. It's informed mistakes. We just want to know why we're doing something and hope those decisions are correct. And it's fun. I mean, it's, right. Again, it's so inexact. If that whole room, where I come from down the hall, all agrees, then why are we here? We want diverse minds. We want people that are unafraid to speak up loudly.
You want that argument.
Yeah, and just be. We want people that are emotionally in control to have those arguments in a respectful manner. That's the only thing you can, I think in that room you say whatever, and hopefully we beat it up enough to a point where we can make a decision that's well-informed and has been vetted and cross your fingers that the guy can play.
Right. You are almost the only lead executive in Timberwolves history that has prior experience being a lead executive before. And when you talk about those informed mistakes, how does having experience being a lead executive before help avoid those uninformed mistakes?
I don't know if they help you avoid it. I don't know, but I mean, you think about Nikola Jokic, when we got unbelievably lucky with that 41st selection, there was a past draft which I was involved with another guy we could have stashed, and we didn't pull the trigger. Mm. And it kind of hunted me. So I mean, maybe there's an instance where it drove us nuts. We didn't do that. He had a pretty good scout for whatever reason. We deviated. So I don't know. I think it just makes you more self-aware. I think it's also quite liberating to know that you don't know it all, that you're going to make countless mistakes. But I think you're a bit more confident because you've been in that room for X amount of years and you've seen these different things. There's still nerves on draft night. There's still nerves anytime you make a trade. There's nerves when you commit a lot of money to a free agent signing. But I would say the word that my experience most allows me to have is kind of a sense of liberation. Like, all right, we're just going to work really hard. We're going to be in a room with really smart people, way smarter than me. And we're going to try to figure out any and everything that can help us make a good decision. And once you make it, you just got to hope that that good decision is actually a good decision.
So that this time of year around the draft is the time to show off those scouting chops. And I feel like you are labeled as the quote, scouting guy. And I don't, as opposed to an analytics guy or a cap guy, it's probably dumb that we even label executives in that sort of way, particularly with you, because in New Orleans and Washington, I mean, you were negotiating contracts. You were dealing with the salary cap. So what, in addition to the scouting, do you think is a real strength of yours and expertise?
I don't know if I'm an expert in anything, but I was very fortunate that I cut my teeth at the kind of the emergence and the convergence of old school and quote unquote new school. I hate there should be no silos. We're not going to have a stats department and quote unquote basketball guys. We're all going to be pulling the same direction. There's not going to be a coach or staff in front office. We're all going to be basketball operations. We're all part of the same team. And I think our players need to see that there's an environment that's reflective of team. We can't ask these guys to be team, or we can't ask these guys to be role acceptant, and we're not. So that's going to be a huge emphasis. Just we're one collective group. We're going to fight and bicker like crazy. And then when Finchie makes a decision, when we make a decision, we're all collectively behind it. But it was kind of cool where my first bosses are, Wes Unseld Sr. and Michael Jordan. And when analytics popped up, we had such a small staff. So you had to really learn that. And I love how much it's helped our game. I think it's a hugely important part of every decision we're going to make.
It's changed it.
It's great. And we have, I love learning from Sach. I love learning from, we have a pretty robust department here, which is awesome. It's new to me. And it's been awesome sitting in some of these meetings and kind of getting a better sense of what's being done here. And it's really cool stuff. In terms of, it's, I joke with coaches. I got a bunch of buddies who are coaches. Like, it drives me nuts when they label themselves. I'm a defensive minded coach. I'm an offensive minded coach. If a player said that, we'd say, what are you talking about?
Well, look at Finch this year. He was totally labeled as the offensive guru comes in, and then they have their best defensive year.
Chris Finch is a really, really good basketball coach.
Yeah, exactly.
He's really good at, but if I always think it's funny if a player said, nah, coach, I'm just an offensive player. Like, what do you mean? So I think the labels.
You can sit on the bench.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Be a two-way guy. And we certainly have a big time coach who's excellent on both ends of the court. But I don't know if I've labeled myself anything. I think it's the only thing that I'm proud of is how we treat people. I think I'm proud that I've worked with some unbelievably smart people, and they've allowed me to progress. I've been lucky enough to hire some people. They progressed. You know, we're not going to treat anyone. We're not going to have a corporate approach to organization. The players are colleagues. They're not assets. I think hopefully that the way that kind of I do things myself, my family do things is reflective of what the city's about, what the state's about. You know, we're very informal people. So there's nothing that I can say I'm an expert in anything, but I hope I'm an expert in being a good person.
There you go.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You mentioned the players, and as I was listening back to the press conference, your introductory press conference, and I'm like, what? We didn't ask about Anthony Edwards. No. Like his name, you know, his name didn't even come up. So I made a note to make sure to hit on Ant. And I'm just curious from your perspective from afar, what you saw Ant do this year and then kind of now fused with these past few weeks into, I guess, what your perception was then and how that has kind of evolved as you've talked to more people here within the building.
I love him. I love love his game. I love how sincere he is. I love real people. And that guy just, you know, he drips real. Mm-hmm. We have to make sure that he never loses that because it's not just who he is as a player, but who he is as a person. I can't wait to get in front of him. And like I've reached out to a bunch of these guys and I don't want to rush these relationships. Sure. I don't want to say, you can't say, trust me, you know, that's going to be developed naturally, but that's only going to be developed over, you know, over meals, over hanging out, over watching games. So I'm really excited to get to know these people, not just the players and, you know, get to see where they're from. I'm a fan first and foremost. And, there's few young players that are more dynamic. Might be zero. I mean, he's, and what he did in the playoffs, and he does it with a smile on his face. And everyone in this building speaks about his work ethic, about how kind he is day to day, how respectful he is. So, I mean, I was already fever pitch excitement from afar. And now it's, you know, that much higher because you hear all these things. We're getting the Sandman just came in. If everyone's a fan of the Apollo.
Have you got the chance to watch him in Wancho's movie? Seen any of that?
I have not.
I think it just came out. We're recording this on June 8th, so I think it literally comes out
today.
I've not
had a really good buddy who was who worked on it full time. You know, obviously love Wancho. Watched Wancho grow up. Yeah. They said he was amazing. Said he didn't have one time where he forgot a line, which is pretty impressive.
It is.
I struggle with sports movies, to be honest, because you work in it. You know, I don't like sports books. I don't like sports movies. But I can't wait to see that just because Wancho and Aaron Gordon's in it, I think, another great guy. It's so cool. And my buddies worked on it. I've heard, you know, I mean, they had a heck of a time filming through COVID.
Yeah.
So, you know, credit to them for being, you know, being able to get this done. And the reviews are big time. Rotten Tomatoes loves it.
I know. Yeah. And Sandler was awesome. No Country. I mean, I'm excited.
I love Sandler movies. Is it good? Did you see it?
I haven't seen it. I mean, I just saw it. Like, there's some clips out that came out today.
And yeah,
like,
I mean, there's a number two. Me and Dane want to be in it.
Exactly.
Like, get our SAG cards.
Exactly. Let's, we'll wrap up on one last, maybe a little bit more basketball question. And we've talked a lot to Chris Finch in the end of the season about, you know, what the, you know, the classic, what's the next level? What things need to be adjusted? And one thing he's consistently brought up is this team needs to get bigger and stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And they ranked last in defensive rebounding last season. There's obviously a problem in the playoff series. How much of that needs to be addressed externally with adding players versus how much can that be developed internally in your eyes?
Well, you know, there's three avenues to improve your team. Obviously, internal improvement, free agency and trades. It's kind of one buck in the draft. So we'll use all three. I do think this team is very young, which the coolest thing would happen last year. And the hardest thing, all these teams have talent. There's 30 teams in NBA, all of them have talent. And the draft rewards teams that really struggled the year before. So those teams that are kind of struggling at the moment, they should be getting better and better because they're adding top-tier talents. But the hardest thing, I think, outside of having or adding elite talent is learning how to win. And what Chris and his staff, these guys did last, they learned how to win. It's not easy to win 46 games. So just like learning to win, we can improve in those areas internally. We have to. I'm sure there'll be new faces. You're not going to return 17 for 17. It's not how the NBA works. But I think where we need to improve is pretty obvious. But I don't think the group that we have presently and the group that, you know, we saw put up a heck of a fight in the playoffs is anywhere near their best basketball. I think they're just scratching the surface in terms of who they can be as players and who we can be as a team.
As that pertains to Carl, he is not a part of the defensive rebounding issues on this team or size issues. He's the biggest player on the team, right? But it seems, given his shooting ability, or there's one school of thought that could you put another true big next to him? And, you know, on paper, now you're like, okay, we have two bigger players for a rebound. But is that counterintuitive, given how, generally speaking, you know, the NBA has grown to be smaller and faster and more athletic? Would it cripple some of the best things that this team did in their athleticism and speed this season?
Well, I think the neat thing about Carl is he's so unique. He really can be effective at either or the four or five.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of guys his size are one position guys. He's not. Right. I mean, offensively, he can play anything. You know, he's such a unique offensive player. I think at times, you know, he looks really good next to a more traditional five, and they're doing things. They have some rim protection, certainly defense rebound, something you referenced. It can take some of the pressure off him because we ask so much of him offensively.
Right.
So I think it's a question that our staffs will talk about a lot. Ultimately, it'll be a decision Chris will make. But I think when you have someone as uniquely talented and versatile as Carl, it gives you a lot of options, which is awesome.
Well, Tim, I very much appreciate you, you know, taking time for this amidst, I'm sure, a bunch of draft workouts and wandering the streets of Minneapolis. But I think Timberwolves fans will appreciate this too. So So thank you for taking the time to do this, and maybe we'll reconnect around Summer League or
hopefully first of many. Again, it's been really cool. It seems like a really cool city. The people have been super nice, and I'm on the search for the best wings and pizza in town, so the search will continue tonight.
there you go. All right, he's Tim Connolly. I'm Dane. Until next time, peace out. How I'm feeling, man, I hope it never stop, yeah. Green and hot so you can find me in the crowd, yeah, yeah. Don't let standards ever